This morning I'm proclaiming the Word of God from the James reading. In fact, looking at a couple of verses further from our reading as well. So James chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your Word, fill us with wisdom so that we may wait patiently for the advent of our Lord in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Today's reading from James starts with a command and also an image to help us receive the command. Here's what the text says. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the advent of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You also must be patient. So there we have these commands, dual commands, about being patient for the advent of the Lord. And the image which Scripture gives us to encourage us as we receive this command is the image of a farmer. So since Scripture gives us this image, let's start today by thinking about this image and the encouragement we can receive from it. You know, a wise farmer can do many things when it comes to living on the land. Can develop knowledge about how the seasons work, what the land is like, how the animals need to be tended. And a wise farmer will be patient waiting for the rains, but be actively patient. So think about a wise farmer. Cannot make it rain, but can prepare the land, and if the land is prepared, can mend fences, can fix up the sheds, can learn more. A farmer can't make it rain, but can live out his vocation even when the rain is not falling. Patience for a farmer means preparation, preparing the farm to be receptive to the blessing of rain. A foolish farmer, waiting for the rain, will do nothing. A foolish farmer will even grumble, maybe compare his lot with that of others and grumble against them. Maybe a foolish farmer will even resort to trickery and deceit to try and make sure that his nest is feathered before the rains fall. But a wise farmer waits patiently and actively. That's an image about waiting patiently. Now, all of us here have vocations. We have paths of life which God has given to us. I looked at this text during the week with the mums and kids group, and they knew about vocation, that calling from God, looking after the little ones in their care. Not everything is easy in young motherhood, and there's a lot of patience when people wait for their families to grow, to become more independent, and yet each day brings tasks. Patient waiting is living out vocation, preparing for growth. All of us here have vocations, and sometimes we have to wait for God to bring things into our lives, growth into our lives. And yet we can know that patient waiting is active waiting, like a wise farmer learning, preparing the land. Sometimes God may not feel so close to us even, and yet we can know that as we meditate on Scripture and as we maintain a discipline of prayer, we are waiting actively and patiently. It's the first image given here from James. It's a very simple image and a helpful one to meditate on. Be patient, Scripture commands us, and we can be patient by meditating on what it is like to be a farmer, and thinking about how this speaks to us in our lives today, especially living according to our vocations, being active in this as we wait for the revelation of the Lord also in our world, in our lives. Now the text also goes on to give other encouragement and commands to us, and today I'm going to pick up two of them. One is about not grumbling. We'll get to that directly. And the other is about speaking truthfully. Waiting patiently strengthening our hearts involves not grumbling against one another and speaking truthfully to each other in community. So let's hear together the wisdom that God's word imparts to us today. Here's the teaching from today's reading in its simplicity. St. James writes, "Strengthen your hearts, for the advent of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the door." In this text, we have the repetition of the closeness of the Lord. The advent of the Lord is at hand. The judge is standing at the door. We'll come back to that. But let's think about that teaching. Don't grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. God's word teaches us that in Christian community, it's folly if we spend our time waiting for the advent of the Lord, grumbling against each other. And it's folly because in doing so, we invite God's judgment on our lives. In fact, does this teaching from St. James ring any bells for you? Does it remind you of any other places in Scripture? As soon as I read this text, I thought of the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus gives this sort of teaching there. Listen to what our Lord says in the Sermon on the Mount. "Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get." Do we want to be judged by the standards that we use against others? When we grumble about other people, do we want God grumbling about us by the same standards? Most of us would say no, because we know that we fall so easily into judging others more harshly than we judge ourselves, and quickly grumbling about others when we excuse our own actions. St. James warns us against this. "Strengthen your hearts," he says, "because God is near. The advent of the Lord is at hand. And also, the judge is at the door." So, let's be careful here as a Christian community, not to grumble against one another, but to live wisely as we wait for the advent of the Lord. Let's think also about this, just at the level of human psychology. Would we grumble about someone if we knew the judgment that was coming to them? Let's say, for example, we were annoyed by someone's personal habits, perhaps the way they spoke, and it really grated on us, and we're tempted to grumble about them to others. But then we find out that they are going to be facing a diagnosis of cancer. Would we then grumble about them in the same way? I think knowing the judgment that would come would make us refrain from grumbling and make us speak differently. I think it's also the same if we know someone's getting good news. We may not grumble about someone if we know they're about to receive news that they've won the lottery or something like that. Good news is coming to them. We refrain from those sorts of things too at a human level. It happens. God's word encourages us to think about our judgment as human beings before God. We ourselves will face the divine throne. Do we want to be judged by the same standards we use against others? Also, when they face judgment, would we be so quick to speak about them in a negative way? We are human beings together. There are enough burdens in life already without having to add extra burden through grumbling in the community. So there's good, simple teaching for us from God's word there. Encouragement and wisdom that comes to us from God. We have the image of the farmer. There's a good image for us to think about our vocations and waiting patiently, persevering, living day by day. And there's also great encouragement here not to grumble against one another. Now, the next piece of encouragement that I want to look at today, and the final piece for today's sermon, comes from just a bit after the reading that we heard. Listen to this, also from St. James chapter 5. "Above all, my beloved, do not swear. either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Now, St. James here is not talking about swearing as in foul speech, although, of course, as a Christian community, we don't want to do that either, but swearing as in taking oaths, swearing by God or some other holy thing to try and uphold the veracity of what we're saying. St. James is saying, don't do it. Patiently waiting for the advent of the Lord means not taking oaths, not swearing in your conversation. Now, just as an aside, we understand that as Christian people, sometimes competent authority may ask us to take an oath, like when we go to court, and then it can be okay to do it. But the scriptures speak very strongly against us taking up oaths on our own authority and using them in our everyday speech. And what's the problem here? The problem is, if we have a mindset that we speak the truth, really the truth, only when we make an oath, we actually invite the understanding into the community that it's okay to be deceitful. It's okay to tell lies to one another. Generally speaking, we can think if we take up this mindset, we can lie most of the time, but when we take an oath, that's when we really mean it. The problem there is that these oaths can then be used also for deceitful purposes, also to cover up our own wickedness, but this time we take God's name into it and make things even worse. St. James is saying in the Christian community, we are obliged to speak truthfully to each other, not to deceive one another, but to speak with clarity. Of course, not everyone has the right to demand everything about our lives to know it. If you ask me for the PIN number of my credit card, for example, I hope you don't mind if I don't give it to you. Doesn't mean I'm being deceitful. There are things which are rightfully private, and we don't have the right to demand of others. But when we speak, we are called to speak truthfully to one another. That's part of waiting patiently. Now, again, this teaching from St. James, does it ring any bells for you? Well, again, we have this teaching in the Sermon on the Mount from our Lord Jesus. Listen to what our Lord says. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, don't swear at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by the earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more comes from the evil one. You can see how the word we have from St. James is the word of the Lord, the words that our Lord Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, and words for us also here today as Christian community. Encouragement for us to speak truthfully to one another. Waiting for the advent of the Lord, the revelation of God's glory in our lives, means something as simple as this: being part of a community where there is transparency, truth-telling, where we do not take oaths to try and cover up our wickedness, but speak from the heart with sincerity. Okay, there's some simple teaching for us today. Firstly, the image of the farmer. Great image for us to take on board and to meditate on as we think about living according to our vocations. And then we have teaching, not to grumble against one another. And we have teaching also to speak truthfully to one another, not to take oaths, but to have transparency and honesty in our lives. Now, you could ask at the end of this sermon, well, where's the good news? What we have there is teaching from the Lord, good teaching, true teaching, teaching that will build up human community, but we fail, don't we? We don't always keep to this standard. Is there good news for us as we hear this word? There's great good news here. If this is what God expects of us, who are sinful people, how much more will God set the standard himself? If God does not want us to grumble against each other, will our Heavenly Father grumble about us. His attitude towards us is not one of grumbling, but in Christ rejoicing. You are children of God, baptized people who belong in the household, the family of God. The Father does not grumble about you, but in Christ rejoices over you. So think about that. We have a command given by the Father of a household not to grumble against one another. And it's the Father who sets the standard in his joy over us. Likewise, we are expected to speak truthfully to one another. If God expects us to speak truthfully, how much more will God speak the truth to us in Christ Jesus? And what is the word we have in Christ? It is the word of forgiveness and mercy and life. God does not lie. When God speaks, he speaks the truth, and this is God's word to you. We hear this teaching, in other words, as members of the household of God. Living according to vocation, not grumbling, speaking truthfully, we receive this teaching as members of God's household. And it's our Father who shows us the way, who frees us to live differently. And it's in Christ Jesus and the clear word of our Father to us in Christ that lifts us up to walk on a different path of life. So let's wait patiently for the advent of our Lord. He is coming soon. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.